Lake Effect continues on 89.7 WUWM. I'm Joy Powers.
And I'm Bonnie North. It's time now for our Project Milwaukee series, To Protect and Serve. All this week, we've been talking about the often strained relationship between Milwaukee's police department and the communities it's sworn to protect.
But these issues aren't unique to Milwaukee. Many urban communities are facing the same kinds of problems with police and community members, sometimes spurred by fundamental misunderstandings that can lead to dire consequences.
Jay Paris has been at the front lines in several cities working to improve these relationships. Paris is the director of Youth Link at the North American Family Institute. It's a Boston-based organization that offers training and mediation programs for police departments that are hoping to improve their relationships with local teens.
The program is called the Youth and Police Initiative, and it's been implemented in cities throughout the country and will soon be available here in Milwaukee. I sat down with Jay Paris to talk about the roots of the program.
We had been doing a lot of work with kids in the Maryland area. When I say kids, I mean teenagers who were in the juvenile justice system. And along the way, we ran into a very progressive police official from the Baltimore Police Department. He was running the police academy there. He indicated that he was having trouble with the recruits he was bringing into the academy because they simply were complaining about the fact they could not relate to the kids that they were seeing in the neighborhoods that they were patrolling. Now, the situation in those days was that most of his recruits were white and there was no residency requirement in Baltimore. And most of the neighborhoods they were patrolling were of color, people of color. So there was just this, you know, lack of trust, lack of understanding of mutual cultures, kids feeling targeted, police not feeling they could relate or get any respect. So he asked us if we might be able to develop training that would help the officers better understand the young people and where they were coming from. And that's really how it all got started at the Baltimore Police Academy way back in 2003. We developed the training, we did some focus groups, and the focus groups were really indicative of the fact that, you know, both groups were feeling very alienated towards each other. And so we brought them together to share their life stories, essentially. That's really how it started. And that was the basis of forming this training. Then in about 2007, we found a progressive police chief that was willing to have us actually work in the community with patrol officers who were on the beat and kids who were living just in the neighborhood, not necessarily kids who were in the juvenile justice system at all. And that was really terrific because that meant, you know, they could sustain those relationships that they made in the training. And then it just spread, you know, I think it kind of spread organically within the police community, and we started working with schools, and it just took off in a lot of different ways, actually.
How has the program evolved since those kinds of beginning years? What does the programming look like now?
You know, the objective is to break down stereotypes, replace animosity or communication gridlock with some element of trust and understanding. And so the basis of that is really optimizing an opportunity for up to 15 kids at a time, teenagers, and up to 15 patrol officers to spend enough time together that they can really break through and know each other at a level where they know each other's names, they know each other's backgrounds, they know each other, some of their own, you know, their relative stories. So when they see each other on the street, it would just ease that tension and allow for better communication and some trust. So the way we've structured it, the way it's evolved is we work generally through a local community-based organization that is interested in having their teenagers have better relationships with police. And so sometimes it's a boys and girls club, sometimes it's a youth facility, sometimes it's a probation department, sometimes it's an alternative school. But the idea is that those officers would be recruited from the police department itself. So we would start by bringing the 15 kids together for four two-hour sessions, without the police, just so they could process their feelings about what their relationship has been with the police, any negative history. And we begin talking to them about the opportunity, which is really, you know, how would you like to be able to relate to police so that it works for you? What we do is in those four sessions, we actually also get them to begin to shape a story about their lives so that they can tell the officers something about some choices they've made. We base it on kind of a choices exercise, choices they made in different situations in their life. And then we also get them to think about what goal or goals they have for themselves. And every night of those four nights that they were together with them without the police, they stand up one by one and practice their story. You know, in the beginning, they're reading off their sheets, but usually by the fourth night, they're in pretty good shape to be able to talk for 3 or 4 minutes about themselves. And, you know, it's not that they're polished speakers. A lot of these kids have really never made a presentation like this, but, you know, they've gotten comfortable with their own story. Then we bring the police in for 2 more sessions. And that first time that they meet is very, very critical, because what happens is we don't really cue the kids. We say hello to the police officers without the kids in the room, and we tell them a little bit about what's going to happen, not a lot, on purpose. Then the kids march in and take their seats and one by one stand up and share pieces of their lives. So by the time they're done, generally the police are shocked, you know, by how candid the kids have been, how open they've been, and how honest they've been. And that sort of sets the police up, I think, to compliment the kids, because we ask the police to give them feedback. And, you know, suddenly the kids are hearing police officers who they are pretty sure they hate saying, wow, you know, that's amazing. You know, at your age, I could not have done that. Then we turn to the police officers. This is not something they realize is coming, and ask them if they'd take 5 minutes, make a few notes about things that had happened to them as teenagers that led them to then become police officers, and if they'd share some of those details with the kids. You know, that's really interesting for the officers, because in the culture they come from, you know, you don't really share things about yourself with people you don't know. So it's not very comfortable, but I think the kids see that and they feel that and they can relate to that. But the officers do it. And it's amazing that they will get up after the kids have taken this risk and really share something of themselves. And I'll tell you, by the time the officers are done, and the kids, you know, begin having these incredible insights of how similar the officers are to them, really. And a lot of their backgrounds are very much, you know, like the ones the kids are experiencing. And so that's the beginning of this relationship building that then takes place for the rest of that evening and one more evening. And we always have dinner, you know, it's usually pizza and, you know, and we're pairing officers and kids up to do various kinds of exercises, and we do some group team building. And by the end of it, there's definitely a very different energy in the room. Most everybody knows each other's names, they know each other's backgrounds, they know each other's histories, they've been able to talk about what it's like to be a kid in the street and what it's like to be a police officer trying to do their job well, you know, and the struggles each are having respectively. And it continues on. And they make a plan to usually do a activity together, at least one or two. We've seen police departments and kids like this, you know, go for, you know, many, many gatherings, you know. And I'll just make one more comment about this, which is that when we've done this work in neighborhoods where teens are struggling with their relationship with police, which is, I would say, most urban neighborhoods these days, once 40, 50, 60 kids have gone through this training, it really begins to change, you know, from a neighborhood or a housing development, really begins to change the perception of police within that youth culture. And likewise, when, you know, you get 30 police, 40 police from a precinct or a police station that have gone through this training and suddenly know a bunch of kids from the neighborhood they patrol, that also has impact. It has a secondary aggregate effect that we find really eases tension. And we've done studies in some cities where we've seen juvenile crime come way down. We've seen negative interactions between police and teens come way down. So we see it's really a sustainable thing.
And that's one of my questions for you. What are some of, you know, the hard kind of quantifiable results of this program?
We do pre and post surveys of all the kids and all the police officers who go through it. And what we're measuring are there basically are 2 ways we measure things. We, you know, we're measuring things on a scale, a Likert scale, a 1 to 5, to see what attitudinal changes have occurred in the course of the training. And then there are some questions that relate to, you know, what ifs that we think are indicators of how they predict their behavior would change if they get in a situation that maybe previously would have led to conflict and now could be resolved in a more peaceful and better way. So attitudinal change for sure. We think it's predictors of behavioral change. And then there have been, let's see, 4 cities where we've done longitudinal studies, where we've been able to do follow-up with kids and police officers 3 months later, 6 months later, and even a year later. And then we've also measured, you know, over a couple of years. And we have found that it really does impact the number of negative interactions that police and kids are having from that neighborhood, and also even the amount of arrests that are occurring. So we do think that really can have real measurable effects.
Okay. Right now, this program hasn't been implemented in Milwaukee, but you're about to start work with a group from the Milwaukee area. Can you tell me a bit about that?
Well, it really started when the Wall Street Journal did an article on the Youth Police Initiative work. I guess it was last summer or something like that. And a businessman from Milwaukee, a man named Ron Sadoff, who was really the founder and philanthropist who supported the prep academies, the charter schools. I think there are 4 of them in Milwaukee. He saw the article and he said, boy, this would be really something that I think students in Milwaukee would benefit from. So he reached out to me and we got talking and he took a hard look at what we were doing and looked at our outcomes. And then he was doing some work with the Frank Zeidler Center for Public Discussion, doing some great work already around mediation. And they made some great connections to the police department. So he really brought us together, you know, these 2 entities, our organization and the Frank Zeidler Center for Public Discussion. And we got talking about what we could create together that would be beneficial for Milwaukee. So because they have trained mediators, we thought we could create sort of a fast-track course for some of their top master mediators to get certified in doing this work. And we've come up with, I think, a really good plan. And in April, they're going to be coming out and spending a week with us here observing a training, and then they're going to come back and they're going to co-lead a training, and we'll do some coaching and debriefing with them in between and after. And I'm confident that they'll be able to run this Youth and Police Initiative training around Milwaukee. And it'll be a great thing for them, and I think the city and the kids and the police involved.
Yeah, how do you think Milwaukee specifically will benefit from this kind of approach?
Coming from Boston, which has a reputation for being a segregated, divided city with a long history of that, you know that Milwaukee has some issues around this. There are definite lines between the communities where people of color are living and whites are living. And I think that when I was there, there was a lot of discussion about that among the people I was talking to, from, you know, both whites and people of color talking about that and acknowledging it. And also, I think a real effort to do something about it. I think this kind of program really helps because, you know, police are sort of icons of authority. And right or wrong, I think they're considered by kids to be the icons of autocratic authority, you know, my way or the highway. And of course, the police job is to enforce the law, but also to protect people. And I think progressive police leaders are figuring out that you can't arrest your way to public safety. You can't arrest your way to successfully protect your citizenry. And I think in Milwaukee, that's definitely true. So I think the police department is very open to doing a community policing approach that will try and, you know, make a dent in this hostility that I think a lot of kids feel about the police. And, you know, you can understand why. I mean, in the news, there's been an awful lot of attention to the incidences that have happened between police and young people. And, you know, there are a lot of black kids in particular who can tell you stories about feeling targeted, being stopped, and they don't understand why, or, you know, being apprehended and not really, you know, getting an explanation that makes sense to them or understanding. And we're trying to just, you know, leapfrog over some of that to say, hey, let's start at a different place. Let's start where we acknowledge and understand each other as human beings, not as you know, you're a kid in the corner and I've got a blue uniform on and I've got a car and I've got a gun and I've got authority. You're a minor and you have limited rights. So, you know, I think that's where we can head with this. And I think there's a lot of interest in getting there with young people and police. So I think it'll do really well.
Well, Jay Paris, thank you so much for speaking with me today, and good luck with your work.
Thank you so much, and I'm looking forward to Milwaukee embracing this. I'm sure it'll be a great thing for the city.
Jay Paris is the director of Youth Link at the North American Family Institute, and he's one of the driving forces behind its Youth and Police Initiative. For more of our Project Milwaukee series, To Protect and Serve, head to wuwm.com.